A Contra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of A Contra AI. Welcome to the Deep Jive. Today we're really tackling a foundational idea, maybe one of the biggest assumptions of our modern world, this concept of unending growth.
Yeah, it underpins so much of how we think about progress, economics, everything.
Exactly. And we're diving into what might be the definitive book on the topic, Vaclav Smil's Growth, from microorganisms to megacities. It's incredibly detailed. Mm-hmm. Our mission today is to unpack Smil's core argument, which is backed by just a mountain of data. He argues that all growth, whether it's biological, technological, economic, in a country, it's all finite.
Right. It follows this single predictable pattern that you just can't escape in the end.
It's a pretty sobering message, isn't it?
It really is. Especially when you think about how obsessed our world is with perpetual exponential growth. You know, GDP always going up.
Always. It's the main goal in politics, in business.
But Smil forces us to kind of step back from those abstract economic models and look at the physics of it all, the hard reality.
The fact that we live on a finite planet.
Precisely. Right? There's a fundamental clash between the dream of endless growth and the actual laws governing closed systems. Understanding this is, well, it's crucial if you want to think clearly about the future.
Okay, so let's start with the man himself. Who is Vaclav Smil? What makes him the person to listen to on this?
Well, Smil is, he's quite a figure. Distinguished professor emeritus, Czech Canadian scientist, policy analyst.
Sounds like he covers a lot of ground.
Oh, he does. A genuine polymath. He dives deep into energy, food systems, the environment, technology, economics. He's written, I think, over 40 books now.
Wow.
And he has this knack for connecting, say, the tiniest biological process to huge global trends. It's quite something.
And his method is pretty distinct, isn't it? I've heard him called a number. Guy.
That's putting it mildly. He is incredibly rigorous, very quantitative. He pulls data from seemingly everywhere, microbiology, engineering, history, and just weaves it together.
Without much ideology, apparently.
Right. He's famously skeptical of hype and grand claims, just follows the data, which is probably why someone like Bill Gates calls him his favorite author. When Smil presents findings, you tend to listen.
So what's the core of his unique perspective then?
It's entirely grounded in biophysical reality, thermodynamics, material flows, energy inputs. He doesn't see the economy as some abstract thing floating out there.
It's tied to the real world.
Absolutely. Every bit of growth, every dollar has to be accounted for in terms of actual materials and energy. If you can't physically build it or power it, Smil isn't really interested.
And that grounding leads straight to the book's main idea, this universal pattern of growth. What does he call it?
He calls it the logistic curve, or more commonly, the sigmoid curve. You probably know it as the S curve.
Ah, right. The S shape.
Exactly. And Smil says this S curve, it basically dictates the life cycle of any growth process happening within a limited environment. Doesn't matter if it's bacteria or a whole industry.
Okay, so break down that S-curve for us. What are the key stages?
Sure. It always kicks off with a lag phase. Things start slow, just getting established.
Okay.
Then comes the really exciting part, the exponential phase. Growth accelerates super fast. It looks like it could go on forever.
That's the part everyone loves.
It's the part everyone focuses on, yeah. But then comes the crucial final stage, the part we often ignore or deny, maturation or saturation.
Where things slow down.
Inevitably. The rate of growth decelerates, and eventually it hits a plateau. Either the resources run out, or waste builds up, or it just runs out of room to expand. The limits kick in.
So the book's purpose isn't just describing this curve. It's using it to challenge that whole idea of perpetual exponential growth.
Exactly. He's systematically showing that, based on physics and biology, it's just not possible. It's not a matter of finding the right policy. It's a fundamental limit.
And the sheer scope he covers to make this point is pretty ambitious.
It's huge. He builds the argument layer by layer, starts with tiny things like viruses and bacteria.
Right.
Moves up through forests, animals like blue whales, then human populations, our energy systems, big infrastructure like cities.
And eventually economies and even abstract things like knowledge itself.
Yep. And at every scale, the data points back to that same S curve, that same eventual limitation.
Let's dig into some examples, starting with nature. The classic bacteria in a petri dish. How does that illustrate the S-curve?
It's the simplest model, really. You put bacteria in a dish with food, they multiply exponentially for a while.
The steep part of the S.
Right. But then what happens? They hit the limits of the dish, sure. But more importantly, two things occur. They run out of nutrients, and their own waste products build up and become toxic, poisoning the environment for them. So the growth crashes, or at least plateaus. The finite environment dictates the end of that rapid growth phase every single time.
And smell takes that basic biological rule and applies it directly to us, to human population growth.
He does. He shows our demographic history follows the same script. For thousands of years, human population growth was really slow, almost flat. That's the lag phase.
Right.
Then around 1800, with the Industrial Revolution, better medicine, sanitation, agriculture, boom, we hit that explosive exponential phase, the demographic transition.
The steep climb we're familiar with.
Exactly. But now, if you look at the data globally, that explosive growth is clearly slowing down. Fertility rates are falling in many places below replacement level.
So we're entering the deceleration phase.
Smil argues forcefully that, yes, we are. The global population S-curve is bending towards a plateau, likely before the end of the century. It's like a Petri-ish example, but on a planetary scale. Even humanity isn't exempt.
Okay, so biology follows the curve. But what about technology? We often think technology can break free from limits. Moore's Law, for instance, doubling computing power constantly.
Moore's Law. That was the poster child for techno-optimism, wasn't it? Like, we'd found a way to have exponential growth forever in at least one area.
Felt like it for a long time.
But Smil points out, and the industry now largely admits, that even Moore's Law is hitting the brakes. It's slowing down.
Why? What are the limits there?
Pure physics, basically. We're bumping up against fundamental barriers. One is heat dissipation. The chips get so dense, they literally generate too much heat to function reliably.
It melts.
Essentially, yeah. And the other big one is something called quantum tunneling.
Okay, quantum tunneling sounds advanced. What's the simple version?
Well, as the transistors get incredibly tiny, down near the atomic scale, the electrons, which are supposed to stay put to represent data, can actually just sort of tunnel through the barriers that are meant to contain them.
So they leak out.
Kind of, it messes up the calculations. The physics at that scale just behaves differently. The point is, even this amazing technological S-curve is bending towards saturation because it's hitting real, unavoidable physical laws.
And this connects to another huge constraint. Smil emphasizes energy. He calls it the universal currency of civilization.
Absolutely. Energy underpins everything else. And if you look at the history of our energy sources, wood, then coal, then oil and gas, each one followed its own S-curve.
Slow start, rapid growth, then leveling off.
Exactly. Slow adoption, then a period where it becomes dominant, and then eventually its share saturates or even declines as new sources emerge.
And Smil is quite conscious about how quickly we can shift to new energy sources, right? He talks about infrastructural inertia.
Yes, that's a key concept for him. Think about the sheer amount of stuff involved in our current energy system: power plants, pipelines, grids, refineries, all the vehicles. Billions of tons of concrete and steel, trillions of dollars invested.
It's massive.
It's colossal. You can't just flip a switch and change that overnight. It takes decades, he argues, to transition that kind of deeply embedded infrastructure. It puts a realistic check on hopes for, an instant switch to renewables.
Which brings us to the last 70 years or so. Smil labels the period after 1950 the Great Acceleration.
Yeah, he sees that period, our parents' and grandparents' lifetimes, really as the steepest, most dramatic part of humanity's overall global S-curve.
Driven primarily by.
Overwhelmingly by that massive one-time injection of cheap, dense energy from fossil fuels. It was like inheriting a giant energy fortune, and we spent it very, very quickly.
And his big conclusion from all this about the economy.
His most fundamental point, maybe, is that the global economy isn't separate from the planet. It's not an abstract game. It's a subsystem of the biosphere.
Embedded within it.
Exactly. And because it's a subsystem, it's subject to the biosphere's rules and limits. Finite resources coming in, finite capacity to absorb waste going out. You can't grow the subsystem indefinitely if the larger system is finite. That decoupling dream. Smil says the data just doesn't support it.
Okay, if we pull back and look at the main messages here, theme one seems to be just the stark universality of that S-curve.
Definitely. It's the thread connecting everything. From a single cell to the global economy, if it grows in the real world, it faces limits and follows this curve. Simple physics and biology governing complex systems.
Then theme two, this idea of perpetual exponential growth is basically an illusion, a dangerous one. Smil really goes after modern economics for kind of ignoring the physical world.
He does. He sees it as treating the economy like it's detached, like a perpetual motion machine.
So why do you think that idea, that illusion, holds such a powerful grip? In politics, in the media.
It's convenient, isn't it? If the whole pie is always getting bigger, you don't have to ask tough questions about how it's sliced.
Right. Avoids issues of distribution, equity.
Exactly. Growth seems to solve all problems, politically speaking. It's an easier promise than talking about limits or redistribution or efficiency.
Okay. Theme three really explains how we achieved the recent burst. Energy as the master resource.
Mm-hmm. Our civilization's incredible expansion over the last century or two is almost entirely down to tapping into that stored energy from fossil fuels. A one-time bonanza, really.
I mean, understanding that really frames the current energy transition challenge differently, doesn't it?
Absolutely. We're not just swapping one energy source for another equivalent one. We're trying to transition away from an unprecedented energy subsidy that fueled the fastest growth spurt in human history. That's a much harder task.
And finally, theme four.
Yeah.
The critique of GDP, gross domestic product, as our main measure of success.
Yeah, Smil sees GDP as deeply flawed, even dangerous. It just measures the amount of economic activity, the throughput.
Doesn't care if the activity is good or bad?
Not really. An oil spill cleanup boosts GDP. Building more prisons boosts GDP. Cutting down a forest and selling the timber boosts GDP. It doesn't measure well-being or environmental health or long-term sustainability. It just encourages more, more, more. Which the S-curve tells us is impossible indefinitely.
Smil's writing isn't just dry data, though. He has some really punchy ways of putting things.
Oh, definitely. He doesn't mince words. One idea that really sticks is basically believing our civilization is somehow the only thing in the universe exempt from the S-curve. That's just wishful thinking. Magical thinking, he calls it.
That cuts deep. It frames that economic faith as, like, denying a law of nature, like denying gravity.
Pretty much. Another key takeaway is how he frames the 20th century's great acceleration. He says it wasn't the start of a new normal of endless growth.
Rather,
it was the steepest, fastest, and maybe the most dangerous part of our civilization's overall growth curve. A unique burst, fueled by temporary resources, not a template for the future.
That really reframes the last 70 years, doesn't it? Not the beginning of forever, but maybe the peak of the curve.
It forces you to think that way. And then there's his own stance. He often says something like, I'm not an optimist or a pessimist, I'm a scientist.
Just the facts.
Just the data. And the data shows, he argues, that a future of slower material growth, and eventually maybe no material growth, is simply inevitable, physically baked in.
Which leaves us with a stark choice, really. Manage that slowdown or face a forced correction.
That's the implication. Manage deceleration or let ecological limits impose it much more chaotically.
So how does this apply in the real world for individuals listening?
Well, on a personal level, it's about maybe recalibrating expectations. If endless material growth isn't feasible or even desirable, maybe we shift focus.
Towards what?
Towards non-material aspects of well-being. Things like community connection, learning skills, personal health, maybe just contentment rather than constant acquisition. Understanding limits can be freeing in a way.
And what about for businesses or policymakers? How can they use the S-curve concept?
Strategically, it's vital. Businesses need to recognize when their market is maturing, when it's hitting the top of that S-curve. Think about, say, the U.S. car market. It's not really growing much anymore.
It's saturated.
Pretty much. So for companies in that space, the focus has to shift, doesn't it? Away from just selling more cars, towards making them better, more efficient, more durable, focusing on quality, service, resilience, rather than just sheer expansion.
That's a big shift in mindset, though, from growth to resilience.
It is. And for policy, Smil implies the most critical application is moving beyond GDP as our primary goal.
We touched on that, but what replaces it? If GDP is flawed, what's the alternative? Seems like a big challenge.
It is a huge challenge. There are alternatives being discussed and experimented with, things like Bhutan's Gross National Happiness Index,
right,
or indices that try to track genuine well-being, environmental health, resource depletion alongside economic activity. The genuine progress indicator is one example. The goal isn't to stop all activity,
but to decouple activity from negative impacts.
Exactly. To decouple well-being from ever-increasing material throughput. To figure out how a mature, slower growth, or even steady-state economy can still deliver prosperity and stability without undermining the planet it depends on. That's the task for a civilization entering the later stages of its growth curve.
Reflecting on all this, the example that really struck me personally was the broiler chicken.
Ah, yes. He uses that one.
We've intensely bred and managed those chickens for maximum super fast growth, right? Pushing them exponentially.
Mm-hmm. Incredible increases in size and speed of growth over decades.
Yet, even with all that deliberate human effort, smell shows that that growth is hitting hard biological limits. The chickens literally start failing skeletal problems, heart failure if pushed further.
Right. The biology breaks down.
It just proved to me, wow, even our most intense efforts to force exponential growth run into the S-curve eventually. You can't cheat physics or biology indefinitely.
Yeah, that's a powerful illustration. For me, the biggest takeaway is just the clarity of the paradigm shift required. We've been conditioned for centuries now to see growth as the ultimate goal, the solution to everything.
The default setting.
Completely. And Smil's work forces us to consider moving from growth as the primary objective to managing its inevitable slowdown wisely and fairly. How do we navigate that transition to a more stable, mature state with resilience? That feels like the central question for the 21st century. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.